Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuck Show. Hanging out at the Kia Studios. Tuesday night with you. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of this show. Odyssey app site, catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game at JMSH316. He's at D.D. Lewis for real. Well, OTAs finished up. We're actually moving here toward June. Going to be in June very, very quickly. And you know what that means? June 1st designated cuts on the horizon. Maybe some players that the Falcons could be taking a look at that they could add to their roster. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and at D. Orlando AJC on Twitter. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes tonight.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me tonight.
You know, I was watching all the videos during the week and weekend and all that of Calais Campbell, and you know, it really does seem like that, look, yes, they want his production on the field and they still think he can be a productive player. But the more I hear him speak, the more that this seems like leadership, his veteran experience, just being a guide for these younger players. Is that the sense that you get from him as well?
Yeah, no question. But, you know, he's going to play. He's going to play. He wants to play about 60%. But they got some young guys that need some direction. You know, Eba Cady, D'Angelo Malone, you know, Tyquan, the rookie this year, Harrison from Ohio State. So, you know, they need to know how to do this, how to go about it as a professional. And nobody's better than who's better than Calais than to show them how to do it. And, you know, maybe they benefit on the long haul by him helping them to develop some of the young players.
I know that he wants to play that percentage of snaps, and when he was healthy, he was playing in the low to mid 60 percentile of snaps for Baltimore. But is it realistic to think that he's going to play 60-plus percent of the snaps in this defense?
Easily, yeah. I'm thinking they might have to pull him back from playing more. Because he played 60 last year, 14 out of 17 games, and he was right at 60. So that's very doable. That's not a high number in my mind.
So what does that mean, though, with our young guys? I mean, you know, again, last year Lorenzo Carter was playing 75% of the snaps. Eba Cady only had the one start. He's got to take a big boost. I mean, are we – if Campbell is playing that high of a percentage of snaps – is that at the detriment of some of our young guys and they haven't developed as quickly?
No, they got 40% to show what they can do. It's, you know, they're going to be – that's plenty of time to get out there and make a play. And, sure, if they start making plays, then they'll get out there more.
So, obviously, we saw word the other on Friday, I believe it was, that DeAndre Hopkins was cut by the Arizona Cardinals. Would the Falcons have any interest in him? They've got about $10, $11 million worth of cap space. They obviously could use some upgrades at wide receiver. Would they have any interest in Hopkins, do you think?
No. I mean, he would definitely be improved their talent base. but he's looking for teams that have an established quarterback that are contending for the Super Bowl. The Falcons don't have either one of those things going for them right now.
Do you see that as June 1st cuts come along here, that the Falcons will start looking to add a little bit of pieces to their roster? Do you still think that they have some additional moves that are in them here before we get to training camp?
Yeah, but I think we've seen, you know, anything that's happening right now is in the back end of the roster, in the 70 to 90 range. I don't think you're getting any super-duper guys cut on June 1. We haven't seen a lot this year, projected June 1 cuts, where there's going to be something there. But they always say they're still working and looking and shuffling, but a lot of that shuffling here has been on the back end of the roster. If some people shake free, you know, linebacker or, you know, offensive line's always, area of need and an upgrade. And wide receiver certainly one. But, you know, can you talk Hopkins into coming here? I don't think so. But, yeah, you definitely got to keep your eye on it. Definitely, roster's not set. And they will, they say they're going to turn over every stone as they try to rebuild this team. So June 1 would be a definite day to, you know, kind of keep your head on the swivel to see what's coming in the way of June 1 cuts.
Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Are there any veterans that you see that could potentially be cuts on this Falcons team? Is there anybody who you've got your eye on that says, let's see if maybe that's a guy that, you know, is on this club as we head through training camp and, you know, come toward the preseason?
Well, you know, the one guy I'm worried about a little bit is Bud Dupree. They just signed him, but I looked at the last couple of years, he's been hurt a lot. So I don't know if he's near the end, you know. So Bud is, you know, one of the signings that, you know, they didn't have to give him a whole lot of money because he hasn't been able to finish the last couple seasons here. So you don't know. You start seeing the injuries pile up, you kind of worry about a guy like that. But, you know, they're going to give him a shot. They need some pass rushers, so he's going to get a shot. That's the one that kind of sticks out for me. And then on the, offensive side of the ball, there's not really, Cordarrelle Patterson is getting up there. He was off to the side. I don't know if he had a surgery or he's out of shape or what the deal is, but he's getting up there in age too. So, you always got to look at the running back receiver room. Once they get over 30-ish, you have to be concerned about them. Those will be two pretty big veterans that may be coming towards the end of their careers.
D-Led, does Desmond Ridder look different to you, just not even physically, but does he look like he's got a little bit better understanding? And again, I know we're shorts and T-shirts and shells, and again, we're not coming into any kind of high-caliber practicing or anything like that, but do you just kind of look at him and he's got what looks like a better grasp of things than he did maybe at this time last year?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Last year they just had him and Mariota, so, you know, they could force feed him all of the reps he could, you know, he could handle or could take. And then, you know, we were worried about, you know, if they had enough throws out there to if that was going to wear their arms down with just two guys. But with four, he definitely looks under control. He talked a great game. So, you know, he talked a great game last year about, you know, hey, I got this down. I'm handling it. And then he comes back and tells us this year, hey, my head was spinning, you know, so forth and so on. So, you know, I'm going to listen and hear and keep note of everything he says. But really, you know, until we get to September and he's playing in some real games, I'm not going to really be, you know, putting too much stock in what everybody says.
Do you think that the Falcons will take advantage of this new rule with the third quarterback being available, that they can have their emergency quarterback? He's not going to take up a roster spot. I mean, right now, I guess we've got Heinicke, we've got obviously Desmond Ridder, and I guess Logan Woodside is still on the roster. Do you think that they maybe even use a Cordarrelle Patterson as an emergency quarterback if need be, if he maybe doesn't have a defined role within this offense?
Well, you could definitely put one of the running backs in the pistol. So I don't know if that's Keith or Bijan and have them run it, or Cordarrelle or Algier. You definitely could get in the pistol and, you know, run the ball and, you know, maybe throw a quick screen or something. But the other quarterback they signed, a fourth kid, Austin Ayne, A-U-N-E. I haven't done a lot of work on him, but he was the fourth. So they're definitely taking a different approach at quarterback with four out there. But, yeah, they certainly could take advantage. I think that's, you know, you got an injury, you're trying to make it through a game, and then you get another injury, then certainly you'll try to take advantage of it. And, you know, we might see some Logan Woodside.
Yikes. Well, listen, he did play in the MAC, so at least we got that going for us. But anyway, D-Led, were there any other second-year guys that you saw that looked like that they were different? I mean, we talked about Desmond Ridder, obviously, but were there any other guys from the that's going from their rookie year last year into the second year that looked like they were more comfortable out there or had a better grasp of things or just kind of impressed you more overall from year over year?
Yeah, and I chatted with Troy Anderson and also with Richie Grant last week, and both of them were certainly Troy was at ease. I mean, last year was crazy for him coming from Montana. Now he's kind of settled in. He knows he can play at this level. And he's got a grasp of what they're trying to do with him. So that he's really relaxed, and that's one that he's got a really upside. So much so they didn't even sign the leading tackler back, Rashawn Evans. And Richie Grant, you know, he had a bumpy second year, first year as a starter, but now he's got a feel for it. He's got Jesse Bates back there with him, and you know, they got new stuff to learn and everything, but. Yeah, those are two young players. And another one on my list is Arnold Ebiketie, but I didn't get around to do much work on him last week. You know, this is they got another week of OTAs on Friday, another open session, and then another open one next Wednesday, and then they'll head into the mini camp. But if those three guys could turn into football players, hey, you got a defense coming along over there on that side of the ball.
Yeah, and listen, D-Led, I have said repeatedly on my show that I think that Arnold Ebiketie has got to, maybe even more than Desmond Ridder in some ways, that he's got to step up and become that pass rusher that we're looking for to at least solidify one side of that defensive line that, look, I think that he needs to have that big jump. I think the Falcons can win without Desmond Ridder being an MVP candidate, but Ebiketie's got to have that step-up year. I think he's got to be somewhere in that 8 to 10 sack range, and if he can't be that, then I don't know where we're going to turn. I mean, I know it's, you know, sack by committee, but, you know, that doesn't always work out so well in the NFL.
No, you need somebody to turn into a stud. You got to find football players. If you don't, you got to develop them. And, you know, once he's taken in the second round, he's got a prime target on his back. Can't be missing in the second round. So, you know, he's definitely, him and Troy need to, you know, turn into big-time football players. And Richie Grant, that's my whole second-round crew there. And once you're in the top 50, I need to see if you're going to be a football player that's going to play 10 years. And then if you're not, I have to go look at the draft list and see who they missed on.
Obviously, if Bates is going to be one of the starting safeties, is there a battle between Hawkins and Grant? Is that going to be a battle? I mean, obviously, the two guys who started last year, are those guys in a battle for the other starting safety spot?
I don't think it's a battle. I think Jalen's got to try to find his way onto the field as the big nickel, and they go, you know, Buffalo nickel with three safeties and so forth. I mean, they're going to play a lot of different packages, but, you know, if Richie can't pick stuff up under the new regime, you know, Jerry Gray and Coach Jackson back there, they're going to, you know, they're going to put the people in there they depend on. So, I think Grant's got the edge on that. He'd have to mess it up, but certainly Jalen Hawkins has, you know, had a good counting of himself here. Not great, but been good back there. So you have some depth finally at the safety position at the very least.
last question for Adila. You and I have specifically talked about this, but again, I think the idea of Jerry Gray working with these young corners and safeties, and even, you know, even guys like Jesse Bates, I mean, that working with a guy like Jerry Gray, I think that's, again, I think it's the low-key sleeper move that this franchise made, is bringing him in. And maybe I'm putting too much expectation on it, but I love having Jerry Gray back there working with my secondary. I love the idea. I know what he did in Seattle with the Legion of Boom when he coached Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor in their rookie years, and those guys seemed to play okay. I'm really excited about seeing what Jerry Gray can bring to this defense, and specifically the defensive backs.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Gray's got a great reputation, even going back to his playing days at Texas. Great teacher, you know, knows how to teach the different mindsets and different ways that the kids learn or the young players learn. You know, it's kind of like Tim Lewis. People didn't know, you know, a lot about him when he was, you know, one of the top players before he hurt his neck in the league and, you know, at Pittsburgh. And Coach Lewis did a great job, I thought, with Desmond Trufant and, to, you know, a lesser degree, Robert Alford. Couldn't get him to stop grabbing there. But certainly Jerry Gray can definitely, if the kids listen to him, you know, they're going to learn something. And that's you know, sometimes some of the you know, corners or the young kid, they might not know who Jerry Gray is. And they got to tell him, and, you know, if they think that he can make them better and improve their play and they listen to him, then you got something.
Well, speaking of great teachers, D. Orlando Ledbetter is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. He's teaching class every day about the Atlanta Falcons. So, and give him a follow on his personal Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes here tonight. We will certainly chat again here soon.
Great, John. Thanks for having me, and have a great evening.
You got it. Appreciate it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for our Falcons flyover. Pro Football Focus ranked the interior defensive linemen, the top 32 interior defensive linemen. This should be an interesting list to see about where the Falcons land on it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.